Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door. Hey guys, we got a DB Classics episode tonight. If you're a longtime listener of the show, if it pops up in your feed and it's a DB Classic, chances are one of our favorite guests has passed away. This week, we lost J.O. Archer, the man who landed the first triple backflip in motocross in competition. Jared brought him in the studio, and he's one of those dudes, man, that was not only full of life and hilarious, but just an all-around great guy. But there's some things that you guys don't see once the cameras stop rolling, and some of our favorite guests we just end up hanging out, getting shitty with. He was one of them. We ended up hanging out with J.O. that day for a couple hours afterwards, doing shoeys and having a blast. I know ESPN has covered this week, Travis Pastrana and all those guys, and then Jared Taylor was on the show on Wednesday and had a nice tribute to him. We would like to do a tribute tonight to him as well and rerun his episode so that way you can learn more about J.O. Archer. What a funny, awesome human being he was. Tonight's DB Classic episode is the late, great J.O. Archer.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, France Press, everybody. What do you got there? What do you got there, Jared?
I got a special France press right here.
So
there's a bagged press is what this is
called.
Yeah,
there's a brown paper bag inside the France press.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
There
look
it
at
is.
That. It's delicious.
Look at that.
Now, this comes with a free side of domestic violence.
Sure does. And that's beer right there, right?
Wouldn't you like to know?
What are you drinking there? What do you got there?
Malt liquor.
No, it's just a beautiful. It's just a beautiful little ode to the past. You
yeah.
know, a little 40, a little 40 today.
A little 40 there. You brought a buddy.
I did. I brought a buddy
from Australia, and he brought a 12-pack of Twisted Tea, which I didn't know existed.
Well, they just come. I didn't know they're not in Australia, so I just found them.
Okay, they're not in Australia.
Nah.
Oh, gotcha. So when you're here, you're like, dude, I need to get some Twisted.
I want you
tea.
To notice.
Got to get down on them.
That That's you just crazy. Got a clean nah from him, which normally you get a yeah nah.
Yeah nah.
Yeah nah. Yeah, 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 yeah. How do you fucks know each other? I feel every week you're bringing some fucking stranger who's got some weird story, some weird backstory. Now, what's his?
That is true. You know, J.O. Archer is the best freestyle motocross rider in the world. TM. I just trademarked it. So
yeah,
like,
you trademarked it. So it exists. It's real.
This is our man that just did the triple backflip at Nitro World Games.
Oh, fuck. Was that you?
That was me. Yeah.
Yo, dude.
That was me.
All right. Now we're talking, Jared. You brought a high school band last week. Now we got some real fucking talent up here. Let's get a round of applause, goddammit. Bring it in, Delco. There it is. Thank you.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you. There we go. All right. So, since you did this trick, are we allowed to show this trick on YouTube is the question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, Nitro Circus should have it.
Just okay, so what do we go
Archer
to?
Triple backflip.
This is the fucking gnarliest shit I've ever seen. So, I didn't know this was
fucking
you.
Fucking bananas.
Yes. Full disclosure, I saw this happen online, and I was like, oh, there's no way he's going to land that. There's no way this is going to happen. Pull this trick up and show it to the audience.
Or you could go
this
to his Instagram. Yeah, Dale Archer.
I've ever seen. Dale Archer.
No,
J-A-Y-O.
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 Yeah, but try to understand it out of this guy's mouth. Yeah.
It's like he's fucking has two pineapples in both his cheeks.
Exactly. Yeah, go to his Instagram. I don't think we'll get dinged from that. Plus, it'll promote his Instagram. tell our producer how to spell that.
J-A-Y-O-A-R-C-H-E-R.
Okay. So it's just J-O Archer.
That's the ticket. That's the one.
That's the ticket.
He's been thinking about changing it to Joe lately.
Just
though.
Joe.
Just Joe.
There it is right there.
In Australia, like we pretty much, cool. We just put an O on the end of everything. So
what's that one in the middle?
That's cool. Hang on. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Because I started surfing through your feed. I didn't know you. Okay. So play this for the people. This is you. Where are you here?
I'm in Brisbane, Australia. This is probably, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or something.
3 weeks ago. Yeah, it was recent. I just saw this. I just saw it very recently. Wait, is that me who commented on there?
That's a month ago.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. All right, press play.
Oh, J.O., come on.
In the stadium.
Here we go. He's got good. It looks good.
2, 3. Oh, dude, I still don't think you're going to make it. And you're right here. I've seen this clip like 30 times. I still didn't think you were going to make that trick, dude.
Yeah. Nah, the bike's spinning that fast at that last quarter to half rotation comes around so quick.
Oh, look at Steve Caballero right there just saying, congrats.
Well,
just
people are going banana, Dick. I mean, this is the first time it's ever happened. Show this one more time. You can turn up the volume. It's so impressive. It's this last flip. Oh! Did you think you had it at that point? Because I didn't think you had it going into that last flip.
I was 100%. Like, there's another Aussie that did a triple backflip first, Josh Sheehan, so all credit to him.
Sheeny.
But this was the first time it had been done in a competition in front of a live audience. So, but I knew I was going to land it.
It looked real close, though. That third one, I was like, he's gonna kick
you'd
out.
You'd be surprised, though, because that's how you got to do them, because leading up to that in practice, my problem I had, if any, was over rotating, so going too much.
Okay.
Because
I was going to ask you, you'd probably rather under rotate and lose the bike than over rotate and have the bike land on your fucking face, right?
Nah, see, if you under rotate, you're going to nose into the down ramp and then go straight forward to your face, and then the bike will pretty much tackle you.
Whereas happened.
That's not great.
I've done that. I've done that plenty of times. But if you over rotate, it's still going to hurt. Mm. You might break your back or you something, but it's not going to be as bad as, like, you know, you're not going to take it straight to your face.
So breaking your back is not as bad as what could happen,
I reckon. Yeah,
yeah. Your coccyx. You ever
he broke
that?
His femur.
You snapped your femur.
I broke. Yeah, doing
usually like 70% of people die, right?
I don't know the
because of blood loss.
Yes, blood loss.
But I broke my femur this year doing the triple flip. So.
It looks fine now.
It looks fucking looks brilliant.
Yeah.
No,
because he's been working out in Marquard.
It took me a little bit to recover from that one, but they put some titanium and some bolts and all that other shit in there, and now it's stronger than it's ever been.
You should
been.
Get all your bones fucking replaced with titanium.
Yeah, you
probably.
Sure should.
It's got to be lighter.
I've looked into it. It's expensive. But.
Yeah, well.
Lieutenant Dan, he owned a shrimping boat company that he was able to do that with, but a lot of people can't afford it.
No,
now show the next picture here.
Magic legs.
Where you're proposing. This was right afterwards, right?
Oh, yeah, wow. So notice I've got one boot on, and I hold the ring box upside down, backwards facing me. Not on purpose,
no
I just fucked up.
Way. Yeah, you were nervous, right?
Well, I was just jacked up on adrenaline and fucking everything else that went with it, because it was just after. But and you'll notice I've only got one boot on because I was doing shoeys.
Yeah.
Were you if you had not landed it, would you still have proposed?
No, not a chance.
Yeah,
I would have.
Is that real? You had to do it in a high point.
Yeah, no, I would have waited for another occasion. But I was going there to land it. So I didn't really have a plan B.
Sure, yeah.
But,
yeah.
But if it happened, though, I wouldn't have done it because it would have been pretty fucking stupid.
Did she say she was quite surprised afterwards?
She was pretty surprised, I think, yeah.
She's probably surprised that you landed the triple backflip, to be honest with you. Like, holy shit. When I propose to my wife, it's the same thing. You get so nervous.
Yeah.
The ring's with you all day, and then you're like, oh, God, I just want to get this over with.
Yeah.
That you end up fucking it up.
See, I had, because I was in my motorbike gear and riding and stuff, I didn't actually have the thing on me at all. I just gave it to someone to hang on to, and then as soon as I landed, they came over and gave it to me, and I chucked it down the front of my pants, and then I hadn't seen what it looked. I bought it like a year ago. I hadn't even looked at it, so I forgot what it looked like. I didn't know how to open it, which way it went.
But no dry runs.
Nah, right? I was more focused. I did a lot of research and training on the triple flip, and I was more focused about that. The ring thing, I was like, fuck, it'll just happen. Like,
well, what's a dry run like that look like? You go propose to like homeless women?
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Then you pull it. You got to pull it back fast. They're quick. They're on meth. Very they're fast. Quick.
It's pretty very common fast. That actually, I've heard.
Out of meth women?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Back to the, you only had one shoe on.
Yeah.
Why?
He was doing shoeys. Did you see?
Oh, right shoeys.
Yeah.
Shoeys. You say shoeys?
I think is he doing one now?
I think you got some hard as fuck right there.
There we go,
you
get dude.
Some shoeys going.
Holy
some,
shit.
Some Texas
We're
shoeys.
We're going to do this live? Some Texas shoeys? Live here?
Oh,
look at that.
So there's a trick to this.
Is that your boot there?
The back of that boot is cut out. Is that part of it?
Dude, let's go. Let's fucking
go, but you got
go,
that. You got
dude.
That all day. Oh,
look
yeah.
Look at that, brother. Down the hatch on France Press, dude. That's an 8% hard AF seltzer right there, friends. That is gonna leave.
That's gonna make the ride home enjoyable.
Sure is, friends. Cheers. My God, dude.
Cheers, boys. Sorry about that.
You came to fucking party. Cheers.
I'll tell you what, I didn't come here to fuck spiders, so. Although, if there's a good looking one, I might fuck it.
Well,
you said fuck spiders.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Well, he's Australian. That's what they do down there. They're huge.
They don't get big enough here.
They don't get big enough here.
To fuck. Yeah. Now, we do fuck smaller rodents, but you got to wrap them in duct tape so they don't explode when you put your dick in.
Because the organs will come out once you put your dick in them. Yeah. You ever put your dick in a squirrel?
Oh, I haven't yet, but there was talk of doing it maybe tomorrow, like a bit of a pre-Thanksgiving sort
you're gonna
of thing.
You're going to need duct tape, obviously.
It's part of the ritual.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, by the way, it's tomorrow. We're recording this, obviously, in advance. Somebody can go home and have fun with their families. Are you guys raging at Jared's house tomorrow for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we sure are.
You are, yeah. It's a blast. Have you
He's
been down there?
He's never had one. A Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah, well,
that's right. You guys don't have anything to be thankful for in Australia.
Yeah. Just fear, mostly.
Mostly fear of your government.
Yeah, and the things trying to kill you.
Yeah, every single day. Right?
Fear of the crown, the police.
Although we do have Australia Day, which is just a day that you celebrate being a fucking Aussie. And that's a good day, but we don't have Thanksgiving.
That sounds a lot like St. Patrick's Day in Ireland.
It is, but St. Patrick's Day
you just drink and fight the whole day.
Yeah.
No, nobody cares. Nobody even talks about the snake bullshit anymore.
Everybody does.
It's just Irish people drinking and fighting their family members.
That's the reason I celebrate, is because of the snakes.
Which is awesome. Which is not that much different than the normal part of the year.
Is it an independence day? Did you guys break away from somebody? Or is it just a...
You were owned by England at one point.
At one point. I wasn't born back then, so I don't know much of the details. But, I think so, but...
That's what the day of the party is, right? It's your Independence Day.
Yeah.
All right.
So Australia Day is January 26th next year.
Oh, that would be hilarious if it was January.
It's every January 26th.
Every January 26th.
It marks the 1788 landing of the first fleet at Sydney Cove and raising of the Union flag, or Union Jack flag.
At Botany Bay.
South Wales. NSW. So not necessarily, that's more of a founders thing and not so much.
So Columbus Day.
Yeah, that would be more appropriate. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Not an Independence Day kind of situation, which, Will Smith's not available right now anyway. So
he's not, dude.
He's not. He's doing not. Independence Day 3.
Yeah, no, he said cancel that, friend.
They did?
Yep, sure. Why? Did. I don't know. Something happened. Nobody talked about it.
I think so we should Independence Day 3, but Will Smith and...
Chris Rock?
No.
Oh.
He's not involved in this.
No, why can't we just put them as two co-stars?
Smith and Randy Quaid fly planes into the fucking Capitol building of Saudi Arabia.
That'd be great,
to get
dude.
Them back for 9/11.
Yeah. Quaid against the machine, dude.
Quaid
I'm a huge Quaid fan, dude. We're coming up on
plot.
Quaid season.
That's a good plot.
We're coming up on Quaid season, by the way. Christmas... Yep. Vacation usually starts right around now and then goes all the way through. I've seen a million ugly sweaters online for the shitters full already there. What's your big holiday movies down in Australia? What do you guys butt fuck with down there?
Oh, fuck. I don't really watch movies, to be honest.
Really? Because you guys have huge movie stars, so I always wondered, like, the Russell Crowe, the Hemsworths. Yeah. Who are the chicks?
The Dixie Chicks?
No. Nicole Kidman.
Margot Robbie. Yeah, she's a bit of a weapon.
Who was in the ape movie?
Hateful Eight?
No, the ape. That was grabbing her out. Godzilla.
King Kong.
King Kong, yes. It was Naomi Watts. That's it.
Yeah,
she's huge, too.
Yeah, there's a couple big ones, but fuck, I don't really do much.
Australian Christmas comedy films. I just found an extensive list here.
Okay.
There's Better Watch Out.
Never heard of it.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, 2016 psychological horror Christmas.
What do you think of his accent, by the way? 1 to 10?
Maybe 3.5.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. We'll take it, dude.
Crackers.
Popular white country.
Yeah, what I assume is a pornographic film called Unaccompanied Minors.
Mm. Yes. A bunch of kids get fucked on a plane. It's kind of like Snakes on a Plane.
But it's called Kids on a Plane.
Kids on a Plane.
Yeah. And then it was actually, it's a biopic about Epstein.
Oh, wow.
What? Yeah. It's the Lolita Express, brother.
I think Kevin Spacey plays Epstein in the movie.
Sure does. Yeah. Kids on a Plane, coming to a theater near you at Christmas.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, with all those fucking dudes, like, they never come back and enrage. And, like, who's the most famous person down there? Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, probably. He's pretty fucking famous.
Is he?
Yeah, he's pretty famous. But most of the famous Aussies don't live in Australia. They live in LA and, you know, other places like that.
So you guys just kind of forget about him.
Exactly. What's the attitude towards that, where you're like, oh, you just fucked right off and we never saw you again?
Yeah, oh, fuck, I don't blame him. Like, it's pretty fucking cool coming over here, but... No, I don't know. I don't really see in my world. It's just all, you know, football and motorbikes. I don't really give a fuck about any of that other stuff, to be honest.
Okay,
yeah, not in a rude way.
What about Chopper Reed? You like him?
I like Chopper Reed.
Yeah,
when you say football,
some Chopper Reed.
Football, you mean
rugby league?
Rugby,
rugby, not soccer.
But there's Australian rules football as well.
Yeah, that's fucking shit.
It's hard. I
would never watch that.
Australian rules football is like the C at the Canadian Football League. The rules are just a little bit different, and it's super fucking annoying.
Well,
like, just shut the fuck up.
Aussie rules football is like, it's the weakest thing. Like, it's no good.
It's any of my mates watch it, all the worst parts of rugby and American football.
Oh,
that's
what it is. I've seen like bigger hits in women's netball. Yeah. Like, they're more aggressive in women's netball.
Well, the NHL has an all trans league now, so.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yeah, they posted it. Bob, find it on their Twitter.
That was yesterday. That was
NHL's
the fucking
got an all trans league.
Yeah, they disabled comments on the post about it for some reason.
I wonder why.
Weird. Wonder why.
Can't really figure that out, man. That's crazy. I mean, look, with everything that's going on down there, who's the king and queen and all that bullshit? Like, do they follow it like England, or how does that work?
Nah, we don't follow anything.
Because we don't hear dick about your country, except for the lockdowns. Now, the lockdowns,
that were pretty
everybody
good.
Called in. We have a bunch of Australian listeners, actually.
Yeah. Well, g'day to you guys.
Yeah.
During COVID, currently I'm living on the Gold Coast, Queensland.
Okay.
During COVID, I was living in Melbourne, which is where I spent the last 10 years. And if you didn't know, you might have heard from Aussie callers, but Melbourne was the most lockdown city in the whole world. So we spent like... Don't quote me on this because I haven't got the best memory, but it was between sort of 18 months and 2 years in lockdown. So I'm talking full lockdown.
Can't even go outside.
You can't leave your house. There's
like you get ticketed for walking your dogs.
So,
and shit.
So one person from each household. So if you live in a family of five, one of those people can leave once a day to go to the grocery store, but they can only go. You can't go further than 5 kilometers, which is, let's say, I don't know, 2.5, 3 miles.
Three and a half miles.
3.5 miles.
By car or walking.
By car, but if you go over that 5 kilometers or 3.5 miles, it was like an $800 fine on the spot, and then there was a curfew, so you couldn't go out before I can't remember, maybe 7 or 8 a.m., and then you couldn't be home after 8 or 9 p.m. So it was crap. There was nothing. You couldn't do anything.
And what's it like there now that everybody knows this was all bullshit?
Or do they?
There's a lot of dickheads that still believe in it, I think, but. That was half the reason with me and my fiance. That's why we moved from Melbourne up to the Gold Coast, because that was so much more relaxed. There's not really any rules. Like, you just kind of go back to normal.
It's more, Queensland's more like fucking Texas up there.
Yeah, right? It's cool.
Melbourne's more like the city.
Yeah, it's cool up there, and it's like, the weather's good. It's good for my riding. It's just so much better. And there's less carry on with fucking COVID rules and scanning QR codes and all that sort of shit.
Now let's talk about cunts, because it's a word.
There's a lot.
Yep. It's a word I use more than anybody I know that isn't Australian.
Yep.
But you guys, it's more part of your lexicon. There's a number of different types.
There's a heap of different types of cunts.
Yeah. So let's, can we run through some of those?
Run through the list of cunts.
We'll start with some cunts. So,
and give us an example of each one.
All right.
Like a human being example of each one.
All right. So for instance, when I came over to America, I hadn't seen Jared for a while. So JT, you're good cunt. What's happening? So good cunt, that's a good thing. Sick cunt. That's
sick cunt's a good
sick
thing.
Sick cunt's
a
good thing. Yeah. Mad cunt. That's a good thing. Yeah. Like if you're a mad, like if you do like a cool fucking trick or do something,
or you just do a shoey opening up the show,
yeah. Then you're a mad cunt. Yeah. But if you're like a shit cunt or a dog cunt, that's not good, man. It's not good.
Dog
that's
cunt.
A dog cunt.
Give me an example of one of those.
A dog cunt. So if someone knocks off your missus, you're a dog cunt.
Oh,
that means fucks your old lady, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not your mom. Your missus.
Oh, your
missus, your
chick. Oh,
I'm only joking. Yeah. But then it's funny because in Australia,
mom, old lady means mom to them.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and fanny means pussy.
But in Australia, it's funny.
What? Fanny means vagina. It doesn't mean.
Yeah.
And root.
Fanny?
Root means fuck.
Yeah.
So root, like, you want to root somebody.
I'm rooting for the Braves. They're like, what do you mean?
Yeah, you're going to fuck the Braves, dude.
Yeah, you can't be fucking the whole thing.
So when Root Down came out by Beastie Boys, is that just Fuck Down then?
Fuck Down, yeah. Let's get fucked down. Yeah. But another thing with cunt, which is pretty funny, well, it's not funny to me, it's just normal, but in Australia, it's like more realistic to call your enemies mate and call your mates cunt.
Ironically.
So if there's someone if there's someone that you don't like and you walk past them in the street, you give each other the nod, you know, g'day mate, like, you know, like that. Yeah. If you see your mate, you go, hey, you fucking mad cunt, what's going on?
Yeah.
The people in America, it's starting to catch on a little bit, but it's a lot of people still don't understand.
No, and I'm looking at YouTube, the back end, so there's three words you can't say on YouTube or you'll get dinged, right? It's the N-word. Do you know what that one is?
Nah, I never heard of it. Is it nah? Or is it never?
Yeah, sure
is.
I think it's yeah, nah, actually.
Yeah, nah. N-word, faggot, you can't say. And then cunt is the other one that you can't say.
On YouTube?
On YouTube,
yes. And I say cunt almost every...
is going to YouTube,
we have it? Yeah, it is. We don't care about
it. I mean, there's nothing...
We don't monetize
YouTube. To monetize.
Yeah, yeah. Right, okay, right. So that's why we're on Patreon, too, because it's like, to follow these rules is... fucking dumb and archaic.
We can't.
The N-word, I understand.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But
the
everything
rest,
else.
The rest is stupid.
All my gay friends, that's all they do is call each other faggot all day long. And it's like...
I think you're allowed to if you're one of them to another one. I think it's like...
It is. It's exactly like you're saying, like mate. Yeah. It's like your friend or your buddy or whatever. And so... I don't really fucking get it, but it's the world we live in. But I also don't get that fucking lockdown bullshit.
Yeah, no shit,
that was
dude.
Yeah,
like
that was
they were
rough.
Beating people that are just outside.
Well, there was like some, I don't know, not crazy riots, but there was some sort of riots going on in Melbourne. But one of the craziest things I thought was that there was like helicopters and stuff flying over neighborhoods, and you were encouraged to, by the government, you were encouraged to dob on your neighbors if they had people over or if they went out of the house. So what sort of person does
And what
that?
Was the encouragement, financial?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You got money for outing people who were going out?
No, sorry, you didn't get any money. Obviously, the government did by, like, fining people, but they just encouraged you to do that because it was the right thing and we're trying to keep everyone safe and we don't want, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they kind of just, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of different opinions on it, but I think it was pretty crazy.
It sounded like it.
When is
we were getting
next election? Though?
Yeah, we were getting reports about it. When is your next election? Like Jared was saying, and then do you vote these people out because of what you went through?
Well, if it was up to me, I would, but I just steer that clear of it. I never signed up, so I've never voted since I've been. You're like when you turn 18, you're allowed to vote. I just fucking never done it. So, but to be honest, I know more about American politics than I do about Australian because. That's all we hear in Australia. No one knows anything about us. Like
it's true. I don't know if you have a king, a queen, parliament. Like I know nothing about it.
We've got a prime minister and a bunch of other people that run the states, you know, Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, blah, blah, blah. But the main reason that Victoria or Melbourne was so bad is because of the guy running that state. So the guy that was actually in charge of Australia, he wasn't as bad.
What's his name?
Scott Morrison.
Okay.
And the dickhead's name is Daniel Andrews.
Gotcha.
So he was the one that kind of put all the harsh rules down for us.
You don't think there's somebody gunning for his job that's going to run on the fact that he just fucking...
Oh, I think there's quite a few people that are, I think, but I'm not sure when that... I think it's coming up soon, actually.
Yeah,
it's
got to be.
I think so, yeah.
And now you mentioned you do follow American politics and you hear about American politics a lot. Why is that? Because it's just so far away.
It's just what's put on our news, on our television. I don't know what it is like, but it's pretty much every Aussie has been up to date with all the stuff going on in the United States the whole time because it's just always on our news. It's on our radio. I don't know what the reason is.
So you know
is.
About Trump and Biden?
Yeah,
and
yeah, all that sort of stuff, yeah.
You know all about it.
Well, not as much as you guys, but I know enough that, like, I know the whole sort of story of, you know, everything that's going on. But it's funny because they pump that in Australia, like, flat out on the television and the radio. And, like, as I said, I know way more about American politics than I do Australian. And that would be pretty common for most Aussies, I reckon.
That's wild. Yeah. So when you came here and you knew everything that's going on, what was your opinion about Americans before you got here based on what you had seen on your local news?
Well, I've been to America. Like, I came to America for the first time when I was, I don't know, maybe 14 years old or something. So I've been coming over here reasonably regularly for a lot of years now. So okay. I've always loved America, the people, the country, everything about it, you know what I mean? So I've kind of just formed my own opinion from what I think, not from what I see on a television or a radio station or whatever, you know what I mean? So, yeah. But I've been lucky to come over here heaps of times and visit all different places. And yeah, I mean, you guys are awesome.
Why not move here?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something I've thought about.
What if you knock up your lady here and the baby's born here? Don't you get to stay?
No.
Really? I didn't know that. I thought that was the rule.
Both parents needs to be a citizen.
Okay.
But if you just have a kid and walk across the southern border, you're all set.
You're fine.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
That's wild, man. So with her, how did you guys meet and what's her situation? What does she do in real life? Because what you do for a living is so fucking crazy. You would imagine it's either got to be the same profession or it's just somebody super grounded who lets you do this bullshit.
Yeah, no, she's, it's funny. She's like my biggest supporter, to be honest. Like, there's been a few times before competitions or events or whatever, and I've been, you know, maybe a little bit nervous or whatever. And she's like, no, like, come on, fuck, you've got this. Like, don't be being a pussy. Like, she's really, really good in that way. But she doesn't have a crazy career, I guess, like dirt bike. She's works at a hair salon. She's a hairdresser. So,
okay.
And how did we meet? I was a motorbike mechanic for about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And her old man, her dad, I used to work on his bike and, you know, do suspension and blah, blah, blah. And there was, like, over the years, there was so many times he used to kind of drop hints to me and be like, you should see my daughter Beth or blah, 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 or my daughter follows you on Instagram. And I kind of never really put two and two together. And then must have been a couple of years later, I saw her. I was like, fuck, she's pretty hot.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, dude, what the fuck was I doing?
Yeah. And
wait,
then
her dad had like a road bike, like a Harley or something?
Nah, like a dirt bike.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. So like he was into the same kind of shit.
Yeah.
Then. I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then, I just messaged him one day and I was like, hey, mate, can I take her out on a date? Like, nothing more, nothing less. I'll pick her up, drop her home by whatever, 9 p.m. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just want your approval, basically. And he's like, yeah, no worries. If it's not you, it's going to be someone else. So, and then that's pretty much how it started. So,
it's a pretty laissez-faire attitude about some dude from the internet picking your daughter up.
We've been mates for, like, you know, I don't know, probably 3 years or something.
Do you guys,
like,
still hang out?
Well, he lives in a different state, but we still, mm-hmm. he came up and stayed with me and Beth, I don't know, a couple months ago, and we hung out, had a couple of beers and that. Yeah. So.
But that's a pretty goddamn cool story where you asked the father, he said yes.
If he said no, I was still going to do it. But
yeah.
Nah, sorry, mate.
He's definitely watching.
100%. Yes. He's watching live.
Live.
Yeah. Live, exactly. How old is she and how old are you?
She's 24.
Okay.
And I'm 26.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I was going to say, you seem like a young dude.
Young cunt.
Young cunt. Do people get married that young over there?
Back in the day, it was very common. Like, people would get married and have kids at a really young age. But, I mean, these days it's not quite like that. But, you know, we got engaged, but we don't have any plans. We're not planning to get married fucking next week or anything. Like, it could be a couple of years. It was more of just like it was just something that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we've got But no plans on getting married. I've got a couple more triple flips to do before I can afford a wedding. So,
Well, since you brought up the triple flip, where do you go from there? Like, I don't know how you top this.
Well, actually, I believe so. The American custom is that the bride's parents pay for the wedding.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Righto, Kingy. Yeah. Fuck, start saving, mate.
Let's clip that and we'll send it to
clip
him.
Clip it. We'll send it to him. But what do you do after the triple flip now? I mean, I don't know what else there is. There's can you do a quadruple?
There's always plenty of stuff to do, man. And
is anybody doing a quadruple flip?
Nah, no one's doing that. And I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give anything away, but I've certainly started...
He's got a path.
I've certainly started making plans and working some things out, trying to connect some dots, basically. But there's always plenty more to do.
Here's why I ask. When I look at a sport like basketball, for example, we have this thing called the NBA Slam Dunk Contest. Happens every single year.
Yeah.
The last few years have been shitty because it seems like all the tricks have been done.
It's the same
shit. And everybody's trying to figure out, well, how do we make it better and how do we improve it? But when you've been doing it for 40 years at this point, there's only so much a man can travel through the air.
A man, yes.
Right.
But a piece of machinery is a different story.
Correct.
Although if you look at, maybe Bob can pull this up, if you look at the difference between Jesse Owens doing the high jump in the 1932 Olympics versus what the guys do now, it's like he was jumping over like a 6-foot thing. Right. Now they're jumping like 85 feet in the fucking air,
but here's where I'm going with this. Either, and this is a guess because I don't know, but either the bike would have to be heavier to do more rotations. It couldn't be lighter, right?
No, it's got to be, if anything, it's got to be lighter. So...
Oh, it does have to be lighter.
Yes, I mean...
So you could fucking do it, then. You
or the engine's got to be more powerful. There's got to be something, right?
I mean, that's two extremely good points you've made. more horsepower with the engine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things you can do, different gearing, but and then it's like, dropping some weight.
Then it's like progressively more dangerous as well.
Oh, it's definitely obviously more dangerous, but if you want to do things that no one's done, it's always going to be dangerous. But, I mean, there are ways to do things in a... safe manner.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'll have a go.
The new inflatable ramps have been a game changer.
Yeah, they've been really good. Like, and that's something that's helped progress our sport, mm-hmm. you know, in a big way.
Did Travis invent that?
No, so Travis didn't invent them, but the first...
He might own the most of them.
The first airbag that from a company called Bag Jump, which is what I use, they're by far the best ones. I believe the first one that they made for Moto was at Pastrana Land with Travis.
Yep.
And I know
that's the first place I saw it.
Yeah, I know they helped work on it and basically perfect it over the years. So Travis was probably a big help throughout that process. But yeah, they've been a game changer for us because there's only so much you can do into a foam pit. If you're familiar with a foam pit.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw Tommy fucking had a bike land on him in a foam pit. He fucking landed on the edge of a foam pit one time.
Yeah.
He's still really dangerous. Outside the foam pit.
Yeah. So it's still pretty dangerous.
With a foam pit, it's like they're good for like a standard ramp, like you know, where you do normal sort of like freestyle tricks. But with all these new ramps we got, they're so big and so steep, and you're going so fucking high that you can't physically.
You'd
land
have
in
to
a
have
pit.
A fucking foam pit.
Well, the thing is,
that's a problem.
The thing is, you would hit the bottom of the foam pit, and it's actually, believe it or not, it's very not very common, but there's been a lot of people that have broken their back and broken all sorts of things because if you hit the bottom of the foam pit, it's like you just jar yourself. You know what I mean? So there's only so much you can do into a foam pit, and they've been good as you know. As freestyles progress, they've been good, but then as we keep going bigger and bigger with ramps and going higher in the air, the airbags are kind of just taken over, so we're pretty lucky to have them.
Real quick, we got some sponsors that put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Heading down the home stretch, kids. 4 weeks till Christmas. If you're like me and my wife, we always get a big ticket item to split for Christmas because we got children to spend money on. A mattress set is a great one to do it for. You can get the adjustable base and the mattress combined together for 40% off. It's a bundle package. It's on the homepage at ghostbed.com/drinking bros. It's got remote controls, USB ports, flashlights, you name it, they got it on there. And once you have it, you can never go back. Also, they offer that in a split king version. So you want to go to sleep and your loved one wants to stay up, man or woman, no judgment here. There's two separate remotes for it. So she can go down, you can go up, or he can go down, and you can go up. Either way, it's fun. And if you already have that, let's say you have an adjustable base, and you're like, look, Ross, I just need a mattress out there. Well, you can get 30% off that right now and two free luxury pillows. And the pillows are just as good as the goddamn mattress over at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. And while you're there, peruse the entire website and fill up the cart all the way to the top with Ghost Bed items. Huge fan of their sheets. I got those for every bed inside my house. Also, the weighted blanket, from what I hear, is the best in the biz. I can't afford to sleep 14 hours a day, but allegedly that's what you're doing when you get that goddamn thing. And they also got a cover in case you're doing some butt stuff there. At the bottom of the page when you check out, you're going to see a 60-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest as long as you have decent credit there. Everything that's in your carts, including all the deals that I mentioned, are applicable with that. And you can walk out of there with a brand new bedroom set for about $25 a month. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today and make this a Merry Christmas. Next up, hardafseltzer.com. Ship in 41 states. All the new flavors are out. We can ship right to your house. Go there and get them now. I just ordered 4 cases from myself. I haven't had them in the cans yet. Sitting in the lab. Haven't had them inside the cans yet. Can't wait till they get to the house. We got the pina colada. We also got the watermelon, the new flavors that are out now. Go to hardafseltzer.com. Now, if you live in the state of Tennessee, we're in over 100 stores in the state. There's a store locator there that'll take you right to them. We got Bearden's Beer Market there in Knoxville. We got Thrifty's, Jack Brown's Bar in Chattanooga. We're in a bunch of bars and restaurants. We're also in all your favorite gas stations. And one of the most totally awesome places in all of Tennessee and Florida. We have signed with the largest booze distributor in the South. And we're in all of Florida right now. Every single store down there as well. All you have to do, again, go to hardafseltzer.com, click on the store locator. It's powered by Google Maps. So wherever you are, even if you're on the road, just type in your zip or your city, and it'll drive you right to the closest store if you're in Tennessee or Florida. They're regular price down there, damn it. All you have to do is go and pick up a 12-pack. Support the show and support us by going to hardafseltzer.com today.
Yeah, because if you didn't, man, I don't know how you pull off one of these goddamn things. And, you know, I remember when Travis did his, that was the craziest shit we'd ever seen, right? And I didn't think anybody would be able to do
three. If you rewind this 15 years ago, like, and look at what the freestyle world was and then look at now, it's no contest.
What year did Travis do the double?
2006.
So you're looking at 16 years for a triple?
Yeah, so, well, Josh Sheehan, the other Aussie Sheeny, he did a triple flip. The one he did at Travis's place, he, I think he did that like 9 years ago or something.
Yeah, you can find it on Instagram.
No one's fucked with it since. I started doing the triple, started trying the triple in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a cool story, actually. I'll explain how that sort of happened. I just started doing double flips,
yep.
And they were just coming around so easy. And I was riding with Cam Sinclair, who's an Aussie legend. He's won X Games and all sorts of stuff. And he was kind of the double backflip king. He kind of took over when Travis retired and did a heap of them. And I was doing them at his place. And he's just like, fuck, you're getting him around. Like, they just spin so easy. Like, something about it just spins. It wasn't, once I learned it, it wasn't that hard. And then we were just drinking beers one day. And we're like, fuck, you should try a triple. And we kind of just joked about it. I was like, I don't know, 19 or something, 20 maybe, and we kind of just joked about it, and we, you know, just having a session, drinking beers. And then the next day I called him. I'm like, you were serious about that? Yeah. He goes, yeah, fuck, why not? So I was like, all right. And then at this point I didn't actually really know Travis. We didn't have like a personal sort of relationship. Like, I'd met him a couple times, but I was a young kid.
Mm-hmm.
If you had said his name, he might have maybe known me, or, you know, but we weren't mates yet. But I remember I was at work one day and I was having a prick of a day, and this is all I was thinking about, was how to do it. And, you know, and I got his email address from Greg Duffy, which is a mate of his.
Yep.
And yeah, I just reached out to him. I sent him an email and I thought, like, he probably won't reply because he probably won't see it. nothing against Travis, but I just thought he has so much going on in his life. He probably won't see a random. It'll probably go in the junk.
And what was in the body of the email? What did you ask him?
So I basically just introduced myself. And at this point, I'd already started trying to play with triple flips a little bit, just on a smaller ramp. I was pulling back on a double flip as hard as I could. And I was getting about 2.5 just on like a small sort of normal ramp. So I attached some video footage and I gave him a game plan of exactly what I wanted to do. I've got the screenshots from way back then. We can maybe attach them. And I just thought, yeah, like he probably won't reply, but I'm having a prick of a day at work and it's all I'm kind of focused on. I don't give a fuck about what's going on at work. I just want to do that. And then, believe it or not, he wrote back like that day, like a couple of hours later. And I was just like, fucking tools down.
Yeah.
This is fucking it. And he was just a gentleman. Like he just, he basically just said, look, I'm home between these, you know, whatever month it was. And this is my address. The closest airport is this. I'll see you then. And I'm like, all right, sweet. And then
every story about Travis is the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, dude, meet me at this airport this day. Here's at the this date. Time. And that's it.
Yeah. So I didn't. So I, for the next sort of few months, I didn't even ride my bike. I was working in construction. I was working night shift, and I wanted to just put a lot of money away so I could, you know, afford to pay for the trip. So I didn't ride leading up to the Travis's house. I didn't ride for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing 12-hour night shifts and then got all that done and then sent my bike and everything over. And then I got there and I was like, fuck, I didn't. Travis said, he's like, I got a ramp that you might be able to triple flip. No one's obviously done it off that ramp. He's like, you might be able to. So I got there. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know what the ramp looked like or how big it was or anything. But I was like, I'm going to do a fucking triple flip regardless. So
yeah.
He rocked up and then pretty much, yeah, just started getting stuck into it. And then I ended up getting, it was like maybe the third or fourth day, I ended up pulling one around, but it was a bit of an under rotate. But then that was when Travis introduced me to Black Rifle. That's kind of how that all kicked off because he obviously saw a bit of potential in me or liked me or whatever. And he sort of passed on my details to JT and that's how we got connected. So that was like the end of 2019.
Okay. And at this point you think, all right, I'm going to ship my bike back to Australia. I don't know if any of this shit's going to happen. Cause look, sponsors, everything else,
yeah.
They fall and they drop out all the time. People end up not having the money and everything else. Do you think this is still a realistic possibility that you're going to come back and do this and hang and get a sponsorship with Black Rifle?
Well, you know, I not 100%. And it's funny you say, like, ship the bike back. Like, I spent, like, $4,500 shipping my bike to America. And then I packed it down and put it into a crate to send it home because I had a competition coming up at home. And the U.S. Customs wouldn't let me send my bike home. So still to this day, I've got a motorcycle at Travis's house in a bike crate. From 2009.
Yeah.
So really?
We looked at it the other day.
Yeah,
what are you going to do with it?
I'm just going to, at some point, I'd like to get it home and just have it in the shed or something. But after that, I went back to Australia and I had a competition coming up and I was still hoping my bike would come back. And then
Did you lose?
Because
you didn't have the bike?
No, I actually won the competition. I got a gold medal. So I borrowed a different brand of bike. And it was a bike that had like 150 something hours on it. It had been raced for years or whatever. And it was a different brand of bike. And I didn't have any practice or time on it. And I ended up actually won that. It was a best trick competition I won. So that was pretty cool. And then, yeah, with the Black Rifle stuff, I mean, I never, you know, nothing's ever 100%, but I just kept doing what I was doing and kept working. And I kept working on the triple flip. So mm-hmm. I was just working 6 days a week. And then on the weekend, I was hiring an airbag to borrow. It was like, I think it was maybe $1,500 for the day. And then we'd have a ramp set up.
Shit, every week?
As much as I could, as much money as I had.
Okay.
And then I'd just go there and just have a crack at it. But at this point, I hadn't really been noticed by Nitro Circus or anyone in particular. So I was going out there and just beating myself up. Like I would have got knocked out in that year on that ramp and everything. I probably got knocked out like 5 or 6 times. And some of my closest mates and supporters and stuff were like, you know, is it worth it? Like, you're doing this crazy thing that no one else in the world at this point is doing, but no one knows. Like, you know, I'm just in a backyard at a friend's property,
yeah,
going mad, getting knocked out and going to work on Monday all fucked up. Is it worth it? And spending my whole week's wage plus a lot more just to try to get that couple jumps in, is it worth it? And I'm like, it is fucking worth it. It is, because at some point it's going to pay off. You can't work this hard and be so passionate about something and not get noticed by the right person. even if nothing comes from it, at least I'll get on someone's radar, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Whether it be Nitro or Black Rifle or whatever. So I'm like, nah, fuck, it's still going. I don't give up. I'm not giving up. And then one thing kind of led to another, and here we are now.
Yeah, because, I mean, I, like speaking of here we are now, like, I know who you are. I know the trick. Yeah. Jared calls, you know, classic Jared. Hey, dude, I'm bringing this guy from Australia. Doesn't say your name, doesn't say anything or yeah. whatever. And I was like, great, what does he do? Motorcycles, dude, you know. I was like, all right, cool. Yeah. No idea. When you show up and you say, oh, I'm the guy who did the triple F, I was like, oh, fuck. I just saw that. I fucking saw that. Like, was that the response that everybody else had too, where you do this trick and something like that goes viral immediately, where you're just like, holy shit. I mean, I probably got it, I don't know, less than 2 hours after it happened. And yeah. I'm not a, JT will say, I'm not a big motocross guy.
Yeah.
I can't pick anybody out of a fucking lineup besides Travis.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. But when something like that happens, which is so legendary, it just gets shared immediately around the world. Yeah. What was the response for you personally and everybody freaking the fuck out?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the response was amazing. And I've, you know, almost had goosebumps thinking about it, because I've always dreamed of doing something like this. And, you know, it's one thing to have a vision in your head that only you can see, but then to actually do it, it's another thing. So I always thought I could do it, and I kind of envisioned doing it and landing it and whatnot. But once it actually happened, it was pretty fucking cool. And yeah, I'm very appreciative of all the people that have reached out to me or, you know, congratulated me or whatever. It's been pretty cool. And like, even last week I was in Corona, California, mm-hmm. and I went out to the factory Kawasaki Supercross test track, which is like, these guys are my fucking idols.
Sure.
Like, I was basically living my childhood dream. So they're all preparing for Supercross, like the factory, the best motocross races in the whole world, motocross and Supercross. And I've gone to meet these guys. I'm like fucking, you know, red cheeks, fucking blushing. I'm getting fucking nervous. And they're like, oh yeah, you're the triple flip. And I was fucking blown away. I just couldn't believe it. So I guess the response was, you know, it was amazing. And, you know, that's kind of, it just gives you so much, well, it just gives me so much more motivation and drive to just keep going, because I know that I can do, I can be in that situation again with bigger tricks or better tricks or whatever. So, I just kind of use it as fuel and just fucking fuel in the fire and like, let's go.
Well, because the thing about you is you're very young, and so you can do bigger and better things, where I think, and Jared, correct me if I'm wrong, when Travis did his, he was kind of in his mid-30s, I believe, at the time, maybe?
No, he was probably same age, 26-ish.
I'm not sure exactly. We could probably look that up.
26 to 30.
Well, but it was in 2006, and how old is he?
Yeah, he's not, he 1 year older than me.
How old are you?
37.
72.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, all right. Around the same age. I guess, why did he stop then?
Well,
And why didn't he keep going to press towards something like this, or was it just not possible?
Well, he did all kinds of other shit.
Yeah,
right?
Well, see, Travis,
he's the only one that's done an Aussie roll.
Yeah, so Travis is like, Travis is, you know, I mean, he's the man. Like, he's the name, he's the face of action sports, basically. But I guess with Travis, he had a lot of other stuff going on. You know, he had all of his rally stuff and
rally NASCAR.
He was like, he was
hill climb,
dipping into a lot of different things.
Oh, that's true. I guess you forget, because it's, again, everybody, these one tricks go around the world, and you're like, great, what else are you going to do?
Well,
and it's like,
his, the biggest freestyle trick, you know, prior to this was the double backflip 360. Travis did that 4 or 5 years ago for Action Figures 2 when we did the movie in 2017.
As of last week.
Yeah, that's one of the gnarliest dirt bike tricks there is.
And he did it with a broken wrist.
Like,
yeah.
At 30, you know, 4.
Yeah.
With a broken wrist.
That's right, he had a broken wrist.
But he's got some, there's something weird autistic with that dude, because the gorilla math he can do in his head. Like, he'll watch you fail on a jump and be like, well, dude, go this amount of miles per hour now.
Yeah.
Or move the ramp to here and you'll make it.
Here.
Yeah. It's
like,
yeah.
He's seeing shit three-dimensionally with numbers on it or something.
He has a gift, that's for sure. And he's, I would say he's got better judgment and vision than anyone else. But it's funny with motorbikes, if you've been doing it your whole life and you're doing all these different ramps and stuff, like, you can kind of just go, oh yeah, fuck, you look at a jump that no one's hit and you're like, oh, I reckon probably third gear, you know, mid throttle, and then pump it on the lip, and you kind of get that, you know, you get that bit of an idea. So you kind of can, and I mean, a lot of the times when we go and do stuff, like, we, it just, you're just going off feel, you're going off the noise of the bike. So everyone at this level kind of has that, but then Travis is like about 10 to 15 levels above with him. Like he is, and I mean this in the best way possible, he's a freak, a freak of nature. Yeah. Like he's so, you know, he's it's freaky what he can do.
I didn't get to see it until the three of us were actually covering Evel Knievel. Evel Knievel for History Channel. So we were there all day. We were at the jumps.
Those like, jumps looked like they were fucking child's
play. In real life, yeah, because everybody was watching on TV. We were obviously there in real life, and like we went through warm-ups and everything else, and it was child's play in real life to a guy like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he was intoxicated for those jumps.
Well, the last one, he had a few drinks.
You don't have to say.
No, we don't have to say.
But either way. But he may or may not have been.
Already over. It's fine.
Yeah, but he made what seemed to be impossible look easy. Like a child in front of us, and we got all access behind the scenes and all that shit, and that's when I was like, oh fuck, this guy really is the best.
Yeah,
so again, where do you go from here?
Like, oh mate, there's a one thing I'll just touch on quickly, saying he's the best, it's like and making things look easy. Travis is one of the only blokes, I mean there's a few riders, but he's one of the guys that he can do something which I know is incredibly hard and a lot of people would never be able to do it, and you watch him do it and you go, fuck, that didn't look that hard. Like, he makes it look easy because of his just natural talent and skill, I guess. So it's kind of.
Like a cat.
But it's like, yeah, but it's almost like false advertisement because other people are like, fuck, that didn't look too hard.
Then you try and do it and you fucking faceplant.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But where does it go from now? As I said, I've already got some plans in place and some stuff that I want to do with Black Rifle, of course.
He wants to do a New Year's stunt.
Oh, well, yeah, that's definitely something
I'd
like to do.
So I love the New Year's stunts. I used to watch them all the time.
Robbie Madison.
We're good friends with Robbie Madison.
So I watched him fucking split his goddamn hand open on... it was right out in front of Caesar's Palace.
Caesar's Palace,
yes.
When he jumped up and then...
And then he landed, and then his whole goddamn hand split open.
Yeah, a bit of a bust up, that one.
It was gnarly. Yeah. But I love watching shit like that on New Year's. I would rather watch that...
Then
fucking
the ball drop,
Dick's New York, you know, Rockin' Eve. I want to see that shit. I want to see people maybe die on New Year's Eve.
You've got a stunt that we've been thinking about putting on for a while now down in Panama where you drive a bulldozer.
We're going to jump a bulldozer from one building to another.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd be in on that.
Is that possible, though?
No, it's not. So the gag is the bulldozer just drives slowly off the edge and goes all the way to the bottom.
On live television.
Yeah, I reckon we could get that done.
But we were planning this thing with Travis where he was going to jump off the fucking the trop, right? And they were going to yank the bike back and shit like that.
So parachute down or something like that?
It was going to be a base jump. But then he did base jump in Vegas and almost fucking...
Well, out of Ghost Bar.
Fucked himself
up. Out of
up,
Ghost
yeah.
Bar. Yeah, got, Bar and, what the fuck was the name of that hotel at the Palms?
The Palms.
The Palms, yes.
Yeah, I remember that. But since you brought it up, I think, me personally, that is an excellent way to bring action sports to the forefront again, where you're doing these stunts like Evel Knievel or like Travis or like Tom, like all or Robbie, all those guys. If you did that on a consistent basis and kept pushing it on live television, that way you do have these viral moments to share with everybody. It can go out to everybody, and they're like, "Oh fuck, this is dope as shit again."
Do it for Australia Day. Just walk through the city without a mask on or something.
I'm not that fucking crazy. Yeah.
Oh
come
god,
on.
Did you see? The Chinese government blurred the crowd for the World Cup.
Well, they need to. Yeah, you don't need to sing.
So the
God.
So
straight back. You're gonna go. We don't give a fuck.
So
straight back.
Anybody that watches from China doesn't know that everybody else in the world doesn't wear masks.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, they blurred the entire audience.
I did not know that. Yeah. I watched something in China recently, and I didn't understand why they were all wearing masks. So that makes sense. So. Yeah. Is their entire country just still mass up?
They have a zero COVID policy.
Yeah, you're fucking kidding.
They're still on that.
No. So at Foxconn, which is Apple's biggest iPhone distribution facility, they're like rioting.
Yeah, they're having riots. Daily riots almost.
Really?
Yeah, because they know they need to keep producing the shit. So they keep them locked down in the fucking production facility. And every now and again, people were like, fuck this, I'm going home.
Oh, yeah.
And they tear the place apart and fucking run away.
So, Bob, pull up Drudge Report. It's the top story on Drudge here. Slave to the Apple. Violent protests at China plant. Workers beaten. Oh. And they're all wearing hazmat suits.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Look, people don't want to work.
Whoa,
I'm about to tell you.
Dude.
Except for the fucking secret police who are walking around maskless. And just with fucking nightsticks basically beating people.
That's fucking gnarly.
This is what happens when you don't have guns.
Yeah, holy shit.
Speaking of trolling and weird shit, so we wanted to talk about Elon Musk, Donald Trump poll on
Twitter.
It's a trap.
So I brought this up, what was it, 2 days ago, Dan, on the show? And I said I would wait for you to get here. Yeah. Now, because you and I were chatting over the weekend as all this was going on.
I called you night up.
I know. And it was the funniest shit of all time.
It was very obvious what was happening.
But there are, I've got pieces that were.
Okay, great. So here's what I told the audience, yeah. and I said you'd tell the rest when you got here. Okay. So Elon lets Donald Trump back on Twitter.
No, it goes behind that.
The poll
it goes to Thursday.
Okay, yeah. so walk everybody through your theory, because I think it's correct.
So Thursday afternoon is when a lot of the Twitter employees were notified he was locking the doors Friday morning. Mm-hmm. You were getting notified.
And like, revoking so their, like, their,
he revoked
their,
all
their
access,
key cards to, like, get in, and their logins.
And their logins, everything.
We're all fucking.
So what he did, what he did is he knew he was going to, he was like, I cannot have anybody leaking anything. I can't have anybody that's not on the train. And that's when he, like, culled his fucking group of whales, like, that are the current existing Twitter employees that are, like, they're diehard. Like, they have to understand, like, Friday night when they wrote the new source path code for how Twitter is going to operate, like, these people understand they're rewriting history with one of the fucking smartest human beings that we have on the planet. Mm-hmm. Like, they put that above the fucking woke politics that they've been brainwashed in for all of this. So what Elon did is he fucking culled the entire herd and got all the fucking trustworthy people, like, down to that. Locked the fucking doors on Friday, and then essentially was like, set me a trap, because come fucking Friday night, we're going to find just how muddy the waters are with bots and click farms. And so Friday night at 8, it was like 8 p.m. Central.
Okay.
The poll goes out.
Mm, right.
Should I reinstate Donald Trump's Twitter account? That all that had to do was he was bringing them all to him.
But think about, like, the way it progressed. So
yes.
Friday night, by noon Saturday morning, it was 60-40, let Trump back.
Oh, no, even Friday night, it was in the 70s.
Yeah, I know, but like
30.
But by the time the majority of people knew about it.
But he gave them 12 hours.
Yes, yeah, right. It's a 24-hour poll.
So 12 hours later, it was 60-40, 62-38, bring Trump back.
MSNBC, yep. CBS, everybody started their reports on how dangerous this. He's asking for a vote. This is dangerous, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. That kicked in the Democratic money machine. All the people on the left that are dumping money, that have these click farms and bots ready to go at moment's notice that are already paid for. So he just fucking set the fucking loop with the rope attached to it and walked them all into it.
Now, what were they doing with the click farms? Saying voting no?
Forget about that for a second.
They were voting no.
By the time, yes, they were voting no. But by the time, so at noon on Saturday, and I really hope that he encapsulates this data and publishes it on an infographic at some point.
He will. I'm going to show Ross this.
But it was 60-40 at noon the next day, Saturday. And there had been about 8 million people that voted. Now, 15 million people ended up voting. So another 7 million after that. It was 60-40 by noon the next day. All of a sudden, it came all the way down. What it is right now, or what it ended at, was 51.8 to 48.2. And
no,
you're telling me that this whole, like, Twitter.
That's funny.
Twitter,
text that to Bob if you can.
Twitter is constantly dominated in the comments and rebuttals and shit by all this leftist bullshit all the time, right? But a poll, you have to actually go in and click something.
It's only one
per person.
One per person.
Yeah. Okay.
So this was, no kidding, how he could get them to show themselves to him. All he had to do was set up parameters to know that, when they flood the gates, they're going to flood the gates all at once, because they're going to get orders.
Yeah.
So if you think about it like that, like these click farms and stuff in India and everything, it's thousands of people in a room or on a network that have 100 accounts apiece that can switch from each account to go do something.
Yep.
Okay, so this is all going to come in waves. There it is right there. So
pop that up on the screen.
Yeah, this is 2 days after the poll closed, like, if you were paying attention to...
So there's a guy named Buzz Patterson, and for the audio listeners, he says, Trump poll was a bot trap. I love this guy. And then Elon Musk underneath it put a nice little winky face.
And then I've
face.
Got one more for you, Giorgio, too.
That's hilarious.
Jared, it's crazy how seamless this is working right now between us.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
What are you guys using? What system are you guys using?
AirDrop.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's amazing.
Yeah. We gave up on
little Chinese hands made this possible.
Thank God, dude.
Showing,
we gave up on showing Ross what AirDrop was.
No, I don't need it. I don't need it.
Yeah, so here's here is the night of Elon was like this was the night of it. I mean, dude, I was on this so fast because I was like, there it is. Like he knew exactly when they came in.
And again, for the audio listeners, in case you're not watching video, the bot attack is impressive to watch. This is from Elon Musk. Underneath that, he writes, bot and troll armies might be running out of steam soon. Some interesting lessons to clean up
this,
future
this
polls.
This is all that was for. He had already made his decision if he was going to allow Trump back on or not, which was he always was. Like, because he even posted the poll today that this was like literally 2 hours ago that was like, as long as somebody didn't commit a crime utilizing Twitter, should I just fucking unban everybody? And it's like it's sliding like 80% yes.
Yeah.
Like, well, except for Alex Jones, right?
Yeah.
That's the one holdout that he has.
Correct.
He has a personal vendetta. He voiced that actually yesterday.
And he did say it on his Twitter. He said, look, man, I had a child that died. And anybody that comes after children who've died, I don't have any tolerance.
Tries to weaponize that, yeah.
Yeah,
correct.
But I think the way this all went is really interesting to expose the bot problem that Twitter has and who specifically is controlling those bot farms, because it went one way very rapidly, right? But the other part is, this is a mirror to the fucking what a lot of people in America think is happening in our elections right now, which 100%. Is where conservative candidates are doing really well up until the polls fucking close overnight for some reason and cameras go out, and then all of a sudden they wake up and the fucking whole outcome is different.
Right.
You know what I mean? And maybe there's an explanation for that, but people don't think there is.
Well, what's even more ridiculous is the fact that they're still on the whole, I can't believe Elon let a poll decide if he was going to let Trump. Like, they're still reporting that, by the way.
Well, they're also still reporting.
Fucking Adam still came out and said, oh, I can't believe Elon's so irresponsible.
Adam Kinzinger. In between bouts of crying in front of the camera, he says stupid shit now for a living.
Well, he doesn't have a choice. So he's got
he's got a choice. So here's his thing. We met him and his wife, remember?
No. They stayed in my fucking house.
The night of COVID.
Yeah. They stayed in my fucking house.
So she is a super lefty Obama appointee.
Yeah.
And she's dragging him around by his little tiny wiener.
But that's all the time. What I mean is, his time is running out. Is he's out of there January 21st, right? So like, technically, he's still in. He can still soak up these interviews. Once he's out, the media will no longer care.
Oh no,
anymore.
He'll have a job at CNN. He'll be at CNN. Maybe. I promise you that.
He or might. MSNBC.
Yeah, one of the two.
Maybe MSNBC, but probably CNN.
One of the two.
Yeah, because
he'll
CNN,
have a job in the
CNN
next Democratic
needs,
administration too.
They need a former Republican conservative
military.
Yeah. That now thinks like us. Yeah.
Exactly.
But he doesn't. I don't think he believes anything he says. But his wife is pretty hot, so I understand.
Yeah, sure. Now with Twitter, Jared, what is the next move for Elon Musk, and where does this platform head?
Oh no, Twitter will be
in the future.
Twitter is going to be done any moment.
What do you mean?
I mean, have you not read the news?
Yeah.
Twitter's over.
They fired 7,500
any fucking minute now.
No, like told you in the beginning. Elon is making this the most pure form of social media that people, I mean, he said it this morning. He goes, Twitter is becoming the most trusted source of information now because it's not being fucking filtered.
Well, unless you're saying negative shit about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Well,
because he will ban people for that.
He owns it.
As he has.
You know?
I mean, you've got to break this down to us. I have ran the Drinking Bros group for fucking 9 years.
Yes.
Like, I've ran it fairly.
Yeah.
But if you come in and you're acting like a cunt and you're fucking and you're bashing me or any of you guys or anything like that, it's just like, you're gone.
Unless
I don't care. Like,
unless
like,
it's funny.
Yeah.
But I think Elon's the same way. Like, if you posted negative shit about him in meme form that was funny, I think you would let
it go. Oh, dude, the edit that they put out this morning, somebody edited
him and AOC.
Like, he reposted it.
He reposted it.
He was like, oh no, Cat's out of the bag. And dude, him and Cat Turd go back and forth every day now.
It's funny.
It's so good.
And to your point, like, so we just had to ban a guy in Drinking Bros Sports. He just kept commenting on every fucking thing, and it was just like, it's just one rule. Just don't be an asshole over and over.
Don't disrupt things for everybody else.
Right.
Like, it's here for everybody to have fun, not just for you to fucking be a dick.
And we appreciate that you have your favorite team and all that other stuff. It's when you just start jamming it down everybody's faces. It's like, dude, You got to move on. There's too many sports, too many things going on.
Or make it funny.
Yes.
Make it funny. Make video. Make a hilarious video.
Yes, exactly.
Like, do something creative that makes us all fucking laugh.
And like, I think that's what Elon's doing. Even with the people that he unbans, I like the fact that he took the time to unban Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
To at least show, hey, dude.
This is equal.
It's equal, but don't do it again unless you're going to put it's a parody account. Yeah. Like, you know.
Well, I think he made a good decision. So the rules were kind of
ominous. Like,
they were ephemeral at the time. Like, don't do this unless you do this. And it's like, all right, well, you can't really do one without the other necessarily in a very obvious way. People got banned because of it. And he was like, yeah, the rules were too fucking shady then. Now the rules are right. Play by the rules now.
Right.
Are we all good?
Yeah.
I think that's a reasonable way to react.
He is going to force everybody else into this, though, because how long has Facebook operated with... You have violated community standards, but community standards aren't published.
Right, and they're still doing it to this day.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to fucking do shit like that, if you're going to censor people or if you're going to withhold any kind of right or privilege from somebody, the only way it works is if it's not available somewhere else.
He came out
yesterday.
If
you can go somewhere else to do the thing you want to do,
then
stopping it on your platform just means you lose traffic at that point, which is fucking dumb.
He came out yesterday and said there wasn't a single... left-leaning ban despite people that have been blatantly caught lying, like on the media side.
Yeah, and
I said there wasn't a single left.
Like Business Insider today.
Yep.
Tried to
ran a fucking story that said
SBF that owned $100 million worth of
Bankman-Fried owned $100 million worth of Twitter. He's like, nope,
no, he doesn't.
I sure don't.
And he goes, "You're still a joke of a fucking."
Yeah. And then their editor in chief replied, "Like, yeah, we would leave Twitter, but we're having too much fun running articles like this." And they printed or they posted a link to the article about him getting his fucking VP pregnant. Like, so you're Business Insider, and your purpose in life now is to troll Elon Musk. Not to actually publish news or anything.
Exactly.
And what do you got, Giorgio?
This fucking loser and his fucking Twitter bio, the fucking editor-in-chief of Business Insider. I'm not looking at it now. I'm just pointing at my screen.
Well, Business Insider was the one that went after pointing those guys as well for no reason. Yeah. And
But his if you look in his Twitter bio, it says, editor-in-chief of a seven-time Pulitzer-winning. Or you haven't won shit. Mm-mm. You personally haven't won anything. Right. You're a fucking hall monitor. Shut your cunt mouth.
Giorgio.
God damn it, dude.
Good use of the word cunt.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's a really important endorsement for me.
Yeah, sure. No, I appreciate people using it in the right context.
What, Giorgio? What
do you guys, Giorgio? We're really high on Elon. What do you guys feel about the freedom of speech, not the freedom of reach quote from him? Basically saying that, like, you're allowed to post it, but then we can silence it, we can shut it down, we can shadow ban it, basically.
Yeah, that's his...
Like, anything else on the internet, like, people have to go out and search it to find it.
I think that's a reasonable...
That's reasonable.
I think
because
it's
a private company.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... It's no different than me policing Drinking Bros. It's just, I don't have time for this right now, and you're being a cunt, so I'm just going to pull you out.
But don't... Like, let's not make the mistake of calling Elon Musk a free speech absolutist. I think that's the point, right? Because he's not. And nobody else is either.
No, and including us, man. We have our own groups on Facebook, like Jared was saying, and it's like, hey, dude, at a certain point, you can tell when people are just being dicks.
Well, you're just like, you're in my... I always explain this to him when they fucking freak out. I go, you are in my house.
You're right.
You just came in and you pointed at my movie poster of the movie I made and said that was dog shit, and you kicked my product off the counter that I created, and then you don't think I'm not going to be like, hey, you should probably get out of these walls.
Yeah, get in. Go to another group that enjoys it. That's what I never understood either. But yeah, look, the rules are out there and they exist. Do we agree with all of them? No, I don't. Like Facebook and Instagram and all this shit. YouTube is
because
is
they don't tell you
fight.
What the rules are.
Exactly.
That's it. Like, tell me what I violated.
Yep.
Just straight up hit me in the face with it. You said this, we didn't like it.
Right.
Like,
if you're going to demonetize a video on YouTube, just say exactly what it was for. Give the option to change it or edit it or get it out of there. Same with Facebook. Give the option to edit it or get it out of there. And at least explain to people, other than, sorry, you violated guidelines,
but
we don't know what your guidelines
are. They've broken Twitter usage the last week. They've broken records.
Single day.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are rising. They rose by almost a substantial amount.
Like,
they're at like 300-400 million active users a day.
Heaps of counts on there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tons.
Heaps of counts. Yeah.
Heaps.
Dude, today was an absolute fucking blast. Dude, I had no idea you were coming in today, and that's Jared Taylor for you, obviously. But now's the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Look, I'll probably have to say, can you do two people?
Sure, go ahead, fire away.
All right. I would say it's going to be a combo of Travis Pastrana, Travis Pastrami, as we call him.
Trevor Pastrana. Tricky Dickle.
That's a whole other dude.
And then Josh Sheehan, or Sheeny, as he's known. So those two cunts have, or those two people, I should say, those two blokes have been a big big inspiration for me, especially with the triple backflip, like we've spoken about. They're kind of the ones that pioneered everything, and they've both been a big help to me as well. So I'd like to give it to them.
Okay. Cheers.
They can go 50-50.
Absolutely. Yeah, fuck them.
Cheers, cunts.
And then one thing that D'Anthony and I always talk about on the show over and over and over again is if you're going to make these sports, like extreme sports or MMA or something popular, I think you need a huge personality as well as the tricks and knockouts to back it up, whatever sports you're in. I think you could be that fucking dude. This was an entertaining interview.
Oh, I appreciate
that. As long as you keep rocking these and then pushing all your tricks, dude, you could be the next Travis Pastrana. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, that means a lot. And before we finish up, I want to say thank you to you, Mad Cunts, for having me on.
Yeah,
for sure. Really, really appreciate it. It's been cool. I'm starting to get a little bit fucking hairy going off these drinks. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. So, 8%, brother.
8%. Fucking oath. Give me some cement.
We call that a shortcut.
Case for Thanksgiving.
I will. I want one.
We call it a shortcut. It's basically like if you're reading literature, it's an ellipses. It's three dots. It says a lot of shit happened in this period, and now we're here.
Yeah. Right? I fucking love it. Yeah. If you ever want to branch out into Australia, let me know.
We will.
I'll probably drink some of the things.
We'd love to.
We have quite a few. We have a pretty big Australian group.
Yeah.
Cam and all those guys. It's a pretty large group.
Huge down there,
we'll get some down there.
We could do a music tour out there with some booze.
It'd be a blast. I've never been.
I can't sing or do anything musical, but I can be there and drink beers and fight people.
You can triple backflip over the whole fucking stage.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, let's do it.
No. Appreciate you being here. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. Leave a 5-star and then walk away. No reviews necessary. For D'Anthony Holloway, Jared Taylor, J-O, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast, France Press Edition. Good night, everyone.
We're out.